in partnership with AnnaValleyShook.com. It's the Go Show, the original LSU podcast, coming to you on a beautiful, you'll hear this on a Thursday evening, day, morning or night, sometime on Thanksgiving Day, via the Talk Show Airwaves, recorded on a Tuesday night. It's Thursday, it'll be Thanksgiving Day, it's November 25th, 2010. We're gonna recap LSU and Ole Miss and preview LSU and Arkansas coming up on Saturday. Matchup of top 15 teams. Both teams with a lot to play for still. Basically bowl positioning for both teams at this point. So we're going to get talk in-depthly about that and also talk about LSU and Ole Miss. Defense with an off game for a change, but offense showing a little glimmer of hope there with very good offensive game for the LSU Tigers on Saturday against Ole Miss. LSU comes away with the victory 43-36 behind the play of Jordan Jefferson, which we will talk about in much detail in a little bit. But as I stated at the top of the program, this is the Go Show, the original LSU podcast. We are part of AndTheValleyShook.com. That is part of SB Nation sports blogs. LSU is the Anna Valley Shook is the number one sports blog, and the Go Show is the original number one LSU sports podcast. So hand in hand, we are making a difference in the world. And those of you who this is our first full year together with Anna Valley Shook. For those of you who are still been listening to the show and been listening to us for a long time, check out the site as always, andtheValleyShook.com, and read the fine print there. Lots of pertinent, good information to help assist with the voices you hear on a weekly and sometimes biweekly basis. And also ways to get in touch with us. Other ways, you can email the Go Show, goshow@gmail.com, GAUXHOW. You can download us to your iPod from iTunes by subscribing to us for free. And, of course, you can go to Facebook and become a fan of the Go Show as well. You'll see daily links every day to the site, and there's places to leave comments, and some people are partaking in some of that. So that is it. So, Patrick, and also, I'm sorry, I'm Kerry Munch, your host. If you don't know this voice by now, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you, but it's a soothing voice during a weeknight, but I am Kerry Munch, your host. With me always, 25 miles to my west in the fine city of Ponchatoula, Mr. Patrick Morris.
Oh, what's going on? You know, I'm excited about this Thursday posting on this show. That means people get to wake up with their Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade and listen to us. What a better way to start a Thanksgiving than that.
Without question. I mean, and when it gets boring and when they flash over back over to the boring commentators, because they got little man-woman duos all over the place, and when it gets kind of boring, let the show download first and then go ahead and just play it, and you hear, some great breakdown, and might even throw a little brief Saints coverage in there today, but probably not. So, but if you want to hear that, you go to Dome Patrol Podcast with my friends over there. I think they're still doing shows over there. I haven't checked them out in a while, but free plug for them. So, if you want good Saints coverage. So, Patrick, we beat ULM the week before, going to Ole Miss. Ole Miss coming off a 52-14 beat down in Tennessee, and us coming off, beating Alabama 2 weeks ago, pretty, easy victory against ULM. Kind of going into the game, some people thought that this might be an easy win for the Tigers. I was wary of it just because of the Houston nut Ole Miss factor and how, and especially what we talked about on Saturday with our Ole Miss casters. This is Ole Miss's game now for them. It's not so much Mississippi State, it's Ole Miss's game. So are you surprised in any way, shape, or form of the outcome on Saturday and what it took to win that game?
No, I mean, the only thing I'm surprised in that game is that our defense did not play better. Because, that's the only thing I'm surprised about. I thought the offense is coming along, which it is, and it showed the other day. I mean, special teams is always, there. I just was... The biggest surprise to me was the defense did play better. But you know what? I guess 1 out of 12, one out of 11, whatever times in college, if you're going to be off and still win, I mean, I'll take that. Even the best teams in the country, which we are one of the best teams in the country, but Oregon, Auburn, their defense has an off day. You know, you got to have the other two pick you up when somebody else is down. That's just that's what a good team does, and that's what we did the other day. You know, we had some, we actually had a chance for other people to step up on other sides of the ball than the normal people that we're waiting ahead of a stop on fourth down or this and that. So yeah, I was kind of a little surprised the defense didn't play better, but I was impressed with the way the other factions of the game went.
Yeah, that's, I mean, well put. I mean, and really, I mean, the defense, I mean, this one, the onus has to go on them. And we've been so critical of the offense and the play calling and the execution of the offense all season long. But it's time for the defense to take a little bit of a brunt, you know, take a little bit of a blow here from our side. I was disappointed. I really expected them to come out a lot better. And I don't know if they've just kind of gone away from not preparing so much for a spread offense. Maybe they just, I don't know what it was, but once again, I mean, a team that runs a true spread like Auburn and like Ole Miss does, we seem to have problems with that, and that kind of contradicts what we talked about at the beginning of the season. If you remember early on, I think North Carolina week, Closer was talking about we're more geared, this defense was more geared to stop spread offenses and like the
well, you would think that we are because of the sheer speed that we have in our defense.
Right.
We could match up one-on-one.
It's not panning out. It hasn't panned out because against the two, I mean, the takeaway, I mean, Mississippi State runs a spread, but they're not, their offensive talent isn't near what Auburn's or Ole Miss's was. And,
proven is that we are a total team defense. We're not a bunch of individuals. And I think that proves out in games like this. When you spread them out and get them on that island without their help and playing together and everything else like that, it does affect, you know. So
yeah,
that, to me, it can be, you can look at it good or bad. Look at the fact that, heck, we are a true team defense, or you can look at the fact that why aren't our so-called way talented guys not matching up well. But then, again, take into account, you got a bunch of talent, and you know your 11th game in the season, this and that, but you're still young talent for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't go after Peterson. They didn't go after those guys. They went after the young talent.
Yeah, and we got a lot of young guys playing in the secondary, and that, you know, you got to, basically what you saw on Saturday was the defensive game was basically the half of North Carolina where we were just giving up big play after big play. We wasn't tackling well. We could not get off the field on third down. Early on we were pretty good on third down defensively, but you know, after a while it just became just, I mean, it was third. I mean, we'd be good on first down, good on second down, third and seven. Masoli's running, you know, Masoli's running for an 8-yard gain. He's running for a 22-yard touchdown. He's throwing.
It's almost like they got
completion.
It's almost like they got frustrated after a while because, you know,
yeah,
they're so used to, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to stop you on third, get the ball back. And it's like when they didn't do it a couple times, they got real frustrated. They almost started pressing a little bit.
Yeah, and that's what kind of what it seemed like. And, It just didn't pan out that way. And I said, we talked about it last week. I went and looked at, when we were looking at the stats for Ole Miss. Ole Miss's offense was much better than I really thought they were. And that made me kind of nervous. I saw the number of yards they were running for and how good Bolden was and how good he was in the passing game as well. And how actually Masoli's numbers were pretty good. They picked us apart at times, and they found some matchups that they liked, and they exploited them, and they did a really good job of it. But all that being said, I mean, thankfully we saw an offense that played against a defense that wasn't very good finally play the way they should against a defense, you know, the caliber of an Ole Miss. You know, they didn't come out and struggle. Like, for instance, when we played Auburn, we still struggled offensively despite Auburn's weak secondary. But this week, we ran the ball effectively. It was a lot of Steven Ridley early on, Jordan Jefferson making plays. I think he was 13-17 for, I think, 258 yards passed and something like that. He ran for a touchdown.
And the most impressive thing was that he was in control at the end of the game.
Yeah, and he stayed within control, and he seems to, you know, we talk about, you read some of the things online, did he turn a corner against Alabama? And, you know, perhaps he did. And against ULM, it kind of seemed like the same old kind of thing. But, you know, maybe choked that up to just of another game plan and not really, you know, putting out full effort for a team the caliber of ULM. But then coming back against an SEC team and realizing what needed to be done. And, you know, maybe the light has gone off. Some of the defense was struggling, and he kind of put it on his shoulders. Now, he only threw 17 passes. It's not like we relied on him to throw the ball, but when he did, he was very, you know, he was very good. And,
17 passes,
you know,
for us is a ton.
Yeah, it's about the norm. So and in the second half was just a coming out party of Michael Ford, who I think is the future at running back. Well, true, he looks phenomenal.
The fodder that I've heard so far coming out of this game and like going into that game was that he's finally out of the doghouse, so to speak, that he's picked up enough of the offense. So he must just be one dumb cluck, because you know, I heard a lot of rumor and a lot of talk about that. That, you know, he's finally started. It's like the light went off on him. He finally started to click and get it, and this and that, and that, you know, and that's why he was seeing the playing time. And so the talent's there. There's no doubt about that. But it was the fact that he couldn't mentally get it.
Huh? Yeah, maybe that should be the slogan of the offense of the year. This is a kind of a shot to JJ. It's like LSU offense. We'll leave the light on for you, or the lights finally come on. I don't know. I don't really know where I was going with that. So I guess disregard. But no, yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah.
Welcome to JJ's world. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Coincidence that our quarterback is JJ and JJ. Yeah. Anyway.
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't know. But no, like you said, I mean, it came out, you know, in the spring game. Everybody, you know, said going into the fall he was right behind Stephen Ridley, maybe even challenging Ridley for the starting position. And you come out season opener, you're seeing more Spencer Ware, Alfred Blue, you know, true freshmen playing over the redshirt freshmen. Then as the season has progressed, you've seen less of Alfred. You haven't seen Alfred Blue in, I can't tell you how long. You still see Spencer Ware in some packages. He didn't get a whole lot of carries, and you're seeing more and more of Michael Ford. You didn't see him, I don't remember seeing him too much against Alabama. I think he only had like one or two carries, but I mean, he was featured the entire second half. They went with the hot hand, and I mean, and if not for that one touchdown, he called back because he stepped out of bounds, which he did. He would have had a phenomenal day. I mean, he just,
you know, and that's one thing that was uncharacteristic this game about Miles is he didn't go back to his old "I'm going to pound it with my one guy" or whatever. He stayed with a hot hand that was in there. He went with it. That was kind of out of character for him in a way.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, he's but like again, he's got that him and Jordan Jefferson. They got that swagger now. That,
so
we
call it a mile wagger and a Jeff swagger, whatever they call it.
Jeffer swag, which I think was coined by Inter Valley Shook, by one of our beacons over at Inter Valley Shook. Miles, he just is just a mad hatter coming out. But in some of the game, I mean, we had a chance. I mean, all that being said, as good as the offense was, they still had so many chances in the first half to really put this game away early.
They did.
Just
they
couldn't
could
do
have.
It.
The first two, three drives of the game, we should have been up two touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, having to set up for field goals when you got the ball inside the five is just unacceptable. That's still something. You know, it's hard to find things to complain about when you put up 43 points, but knowing that it could have been, you know, at least 50.
You know, speaking of that 43 points, and I was thinking of this thought came to me during one of my, rides in the morning, that the closest one in the score prediction would have been Marvin with his 48, 43 or whatever it was.
Yeah, you're right. I thought about that as that fourth quarter hit, and they were kind of going back and forth, and I said, this punk just needs to go to Vegas because he can't miss right now. He hit on South Carolina. He said beginning of the season Alabama would lose two, maybe three games, and, let's be honest, they could easily lose to Auburn, you know, without question on Friday. So, I mean,
they could lose to Clemson this weekend. That's a hint, hint.
So, you know, go figure. But, yeah, I'll talk about Marvin for, you know, a second and a half. But, no, there's still a lot of opportunities out there, but that's good. I mean, they're moving the ball effectively, and I don't see any reason why that can't continue against Arkansas on Saturday because, again, you're playing another team that is very good offensively, not the same type of team that Ole Miss or Auburn is as far as the way they run their offense, but still very good offensively in what they do. But they also have a very suspect defense that LSU should be able to take advantage of. So as we segue very smoothly into the Arkansas game, Patrick, what coming out of the gates of Ole Miss, what's your gut feeling going into Saturday's game against Arkansas, which I believe is 2:30 on CBS. Once again,
right.
If I'm not mistaken.
This will be the first time all year I don't have the vibe that, you know, I don't have a good vibe. I mean, but I never do against Arkansas. Never. You know, I don't care what year it is. It's just, you're not in that feeling. I mean, I guess maybe it's because you get your mind on so many other things during this week, which that's what I get most afraid of with this football team. They get their mind on other things because there's so many distractions. It's Thanksgiving. It's this. It's that. And then Arkansas always does something. You know, it's always stupid stuff. But that being said, if we do and we play to Miles, what Miles has been doing all year long, where he's just kind of keeping his team steady, keeping the focus, game to game, this to that, we should win. I mean, we should win. Talent, overall talent, should win out in this game. Now, the defense is going to have to play much better than they did against Ole Miss, but you got a different style of offense too. You know, whereas Masoli's a running quarterback, Mallett's a drop back passer, so we get pressure on him. Heck, he's going to make some mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm looking for. We've got to get the pressure up front. We've got to bring some blitz packages at him. We've got to throw some different looks at him. So if they've been holding stuff, now is the time to do it. I think you're going to see, you know, we're going to match up with their receivers. You know, there's no doubt they're not going to go to their big receiver against Peterson. They're not going to test that water or anything like that. But we've got to get pressure on Mallett. He's not going to run out the pocket that often. Or he's not going to run out the pocket unless he absolutely has to. So that actually benefits us in a way. I mean, their running game, it's okay. I mean, it's not anything to write home about. So I think that's the whole key to the game. Is the defense is actually going to be the key to this game. I don't have doubts. I mean, you always have doubts with our offense, but I don't have as much doubt that we can't, because we have the confidence going right now that we have the capability to score against Arkansas. It's a matter of, do we have the capability to stop Arkansas?
Yeah, and not to contradict you here, but they do have a 1,000-yard rusher going into his last game of the season. Niall Davis. He's got 1,031 yards, 12 touchdowns. So
that's their only
running
back.
I mean, they've run for 1,600 yards of the team, which is, you know, far less than us. You know, Auburn, Ole Miss, or us. So, the passing game is what they do. I mean, it's. You know, we just look at their stats. They've thrown the ball 395 times and ran it 343. So much higher pass to run ratio for them, as opposed to like what else is probably it's completely the opposite. And it's actually
total plays that they run this year?
395 plus 343 is. I think just adding that up real quick. That's 738.
How many total plays have we run this year?
Oh, I have no idea. I can look it up real quick.
I'd just be interested to see that. I mean, you know, given the fact that their offense is quote scoring a bunch and this and that, you know, are they quick play drives, are they sustained drives, or what are they? You know, that's the same thing that we. What game was it we were going into talking about stopping the big play? You know, I think it was Auburn, huh?
I think we were
talking about that. We just stopped the big play because they like to score quick. Make them drive down the field. Are we going to have to go with that same philosophy against Arkansas? Or are we going to, you know, are we just going to try and match them two for two? Well, hopefully we can just stop them and then do mm-hmm. exactly what Arkansas does anyway.
Yeah, 697 total plays ran for us. So
we're not that far behind them. So that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
so granted,
yeah,
they have more offensive drives because they're always up and down the field and scoring more points. But I mean, well, it's not that far off.
No, it's not that far. I mean, we had some games early in the season where we were snapping the ball less than 60 times, and that's picked up here in the recent weeks. You know, I don't know how many times we snapped the ball against Ole Miss. I'm sure it was quite a bit, but you know, obviously it's two contrasting offenses. Defensively, I agree with everything you said as far as, you know, being able to get pressure on Ryan Mallett. He's not exactly fleet of foot. So getting pressure with the front four is key in this game. And I know the old cliche rings true. I mean, you win the game in the trenches. If we can push around that offensive line and get defensive pressure with Nevis and LeVar Edwards and some of those other guys, I know we got Montgomery hurt, but we still got some good guys on the defensive line. We can get pressure with that front four and make him uncomfortable. He's shown that he's prone to make some mistakes, in some key situations, and that's what needs to happen. But we need to stay sound in the secondary because they're going to try to hit us. They're going to try to pick on our young corners. Yeah. They're going to go away from Peterson, and they're going to try to pick on those young corners, especially I think Mo. I don't know what the status of Morris Claiborne is for this game, but we know Brandon Taylor's out, so
yeah,
you know, we have to see what happens.
Well, we'll see up front because this, I mean, technically, this is Nevis's money game. This is his last. I mean, he's going to get a bowl game. Don't get me wrong, but this is going to be his last chance to shine against, you know, that SEC type competition that the NFL is looking for. So this truly is a money game for Nevis. So let's see what kind of, you know, I guess you'd say Nevis swagger he comes out with.
Where's the day of swagger?
It's all about the swagger.
Arkansas is ranked third in the nation in passing yards. I didn't know they were that high. That is.
Behind who? Boise and Hawaii or something?
Take your pick. I don't know. I don't know who. But that's a lot. They throw the ball. They heave it around quite a bit.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how many times we can put Mallett on his back because he's going to throw the ball 50 times. I mean, I got a feeling, you know, we're going to be able to stop the run, or at least we're going to be able to contain the run. So he's going to throw the ball a good, 40 to 50 times. He's going to have to because they're going to be playing from behind.
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm getting the swagger back already. I'm feeling better.
And it's hard as hell to find true defensive statistics anywhere on the Internet. Everything's so offensive-oriented. But I'm just looking at some of the points they've given up in SEC play. They gave up 31 to Mississippi State, and that was in two overtimes. But Mississippi State didn't score in overtime at all, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was 31 at the end of regulation. Auburn, they gave up 65, but everybody gave up a lot of points to Auburn. So that's really got thrown out the window. 24 to Alabama, 24 to Ole Miss. So, I mean, there's no reason to think that we cannot go into Arkansas and move the ball now. I don't know if I want to get into a kind of a shootout with them like we did with Ole Miss, but you know, truth be told, if they're clicking on all cylinders and they're finding the mismatches in the secondary, that might have to be what's going to happen. That didn't come out right. That may be what is going to happen as far as you know.
Well, they're going to
how we're going to
put it. Well, it's going to be a matter. Chavis is going to be the key here. You know, what kind of game plan is he going to come up with? You know, are we going to lay back in some of, you know, a zone blitz? You know, we go zone blitz, we're going to man blitz, we're going to, you know, how are we going to play this? Are we going to man up on one side with Peterson, just, okay, taking one guy away and then zone on the other side? How are we going to, that's going to be the key. Chavis is actually going to be the mastermind behind this game, and he's going to be the key to how we're going to play.
Right. We're mixing up coverages, disguising blitzes, you know, bringing Mateo in off the corner on corner blitzes, or dropping him back in coverage, and kind of just, you know, he doesn't really disguise that. You watch Mateo. He's either when he comes off the corner, he's a lot of times he just comes in off the corner, and sometimes he comes in for the blitz, and sometimes he drops back. So there's no big secret there. But disguising other things, disguising, you know, whether it be stunts, you know, linebackers on delayed blitzes, we've seen that a couple of times with LSU. And mixing up coverages back in the secondary so that they can exploit some of the young guys that are playing back there. And I mean, you know they're going to look for those. You know they're going to look for those mismatches, and that's what kind of concerns me, especially if they watch the Ole Miss film and they saw what Ole Miss was able to do to us. So that I'm kind of worried about that a little bit. Now, you know, on offense, I think if we continue to build upon what we've been able to establish over the last few weeks, I think we'll be fine. It's weird how this has all of a sudden turned around into we know we'll be in the game because of our defense. But now we're here talking about what our offense, you know, has to do to be able to keep up with Arkansas. Not to say that I don't think LSU is going to come out and give up another 400 yards passing and 50 points to Arkansas. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think we'll see our defense bounce back a little bit from the performance from last week.
Oh, I think so. They got too much pride on that defense to not come back strong and out. And I mean, that's going to be it. They're going to play with a little pride. We're going to stop them. You know who Mallett reminds me of? He reminds me of, God, it's a weird comparison. I know you're not going to say this, but he reminds me of Jay Cutler in a way. He's, you know, the guy out there, he reminds me of a guy that's kind of a prima donna, thinks he's a lot better than he is. he's supposed to be the big man on campus, but he gets frustrated when he'll start, you can see the grins on the sidelines whenever they're showing the cameras on him when he's not in the game and somebody does something and he gets disgusted or aggravated. That's the kind of player I think he is. Same way that Jay Cutler does. He's going to be prone to making that mistake because he's going to be getting hit, things like that, throw that extra interception. We're going to have a pick six in this game, I'm telling you.
You're going to get that right sooner or later. You've called for it, I think, every game.
Well, that's because they're waiting. They're waiting.
So, yeah, but Arkansas is a little bit of a roll there. They haven't lost since they played Auburn. You know, everybody's kind of, looking at what they did against South Carolina, but I said that was going to happen because South Carolina wasn't really worried about that game because it mattered none at all to them as far as, going to Atlanta. So I think South Carolina didn't come out with their A game in that game. So I don't really count that too much. I mean.
No, I don't either. I think Arkansas had a lot more to play for.
Yeah, at that point, than South Carolina did. South Carolina, and I said that, when I was making the picks back then, and I was actually right for a change, which, happens. It happens every once in a while. So when it does happen, I'm going to definitely toot my own horn. So, we'll see. Like you said in the opening about this game, it's the Arkansas game is just one of those games where, especially when we go there, it's just you never know what's going to happen. And I don't care. It's just like Ole Miss. It don't matter what the records are. But I had the same feeling going to the Arkansas game as I always do. And I guess that all kind of started way back when Matt Jones beat us on that last second play. 2006 we beat them. 2008
we always had to have something last second happen in that game. CBS
yeah.
loves it. Why do you think
yeah,
they 08, a Saturday
yeah.
plot?
2008 we had a lead and we blew it. They scored with 30 seconds to go in the game to beat us.
Yep.
In 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to come down to something like that again. I mean, this is not going to be an easy game.
If it's an easy game, I will be the first one. I will be the most surprised person in the world because I don't see that either. Although the one, we're getting better offensively. The thing that's come around offensively is we have a little balance now. We have a little bit more balance. We were teams would just line up against us and say, okay, we're going to pound you, stop our run. We'll get lucky if we hit a pass. Now we have the confidence we're going to hit a pass. That balance is there. So now you see them spreading out a little more. We're getting a little more running room, especially for some of these young guys with these fresh legs and everything else. You're seeing that happen now. It's opening up a little bit. They have the game plan for our passing game now, whereas before they said, this quarterback's going to beat us. Well, then what the hell, they're going to beat us. But we've done it a couple games now. They have to game plan for it.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing us come out a little pass heavy in the first 12 to 15 plays,
Maybe throw a good 8-9 passes in the first 15
yeah.
plays.
You script those first few plays. I mean, go ahead and script, let's go, 60-40 pass to run instead of 60-40 run to pass for a change and see how that works out in the first couple of drives. You might be able to exploit some things and find
that
some.
That doesn't mean you have to throw the ball downfield. You can throw that little quick swing pass or whatever.
Thinking and dunking, setting them up, spreading them out. Then you start hitting them with a running game, and eventually it all balances out. If it works out and you keep defenses off balance by doing things like that, and I mean, it's the sky's the limit as to what we can do because we have so much talent on the field. And we have guys that can take it to the house, at any given time. So,
yep.
That's
so
kind of what
that,
I
mean, not much more to talk about the game. It's just really a matter of are we going to be mentally ready for it?
I got 12 hours to work tomorrow. Let's pick and get this damn thing over with.
Come on, Podcat.
It's rock and roll.
Where's my pod swagger? Anyway.
All right, on to the picks. A personal worst for me last week, I went a whole 3-10 and
completely dropped
myself out of any of the running.
But what you can make up for this week, buddy? 15 games.
Oh, I'm gonna try. I'll tell you what, I'll give my picks on the air too, because I'm playing catch up this week, and it's pretty much obvious.
Yeah, we got 15 games. We got to whip through these.
Yeah, yeah, let's do this. I'm not gonna give you some lowdown on this. We're just gonna have my pick.
All right. First up, Friday night, Arizona at Oregon. 18-point spread for Oregon. I'm taking Arizona.
Patrick.
Oh, I am taking I believe I'm taking Arizona as well in this one. It might change by then, but I'm taking Arizona as of now.
I'm going to go against y'all and say Oregon is going to ride into the BCS title in style. Well, actually, they got another game after this week. So, no, I like Oregon to keep on keeping on. And here I am talking more than what needs to be said. So, give me Oregon and a point.
All right, next up, Iron Bowl. Auburn at Alabama. Bama's got a 4-point spread. I am taking Bama.
Oh, God, this is a coin flip for me. But I think as of right now, I'm going Alabama.
I'm taking Auburn. This is, I want Alabama to win, and I'm not saying Auburn's going to win this game, but Auburn's going to feel just a little bit slighted, huh? You're undefeated. You're ranked number two. You go to Alabama, and you're down. You're 4.5-point dogs. You know that means there'd be a point underdog to Alabama on a neutral field. You know what that means. I mean, that's incredible. I'm taking Auburn to cover that.
All right, next up, a very late Friday game, 10:15 local time start on this one.
Right.
Boise State at Nevada. It's everybody's last hope to get rid of Boise. Boise is a 14-point favorite. I'm taking Nevada.
Oh, God, I'm taking Boise. They have to keep proving themselves. They're going to blow this game away.
I'm going to go with the Podmaster on this one. I'm going to go to Nevada. They're on a roll this year.
Kerry, either you or me are going down this week because we're opposite.
I'm taking a point.
Yeah.
I'm taking a point.
The one interesting thing about that Boise-Nevada game that needs to be mentioned is that because it's starting so late, nobody's going to see it. So we better hope that Nevada actually wins, because if it's even close, it's just going to be chalk for Boise in the standings. On Saturday, Florida at Florida State. Florida is a 2-point favorite.
No, they're not. They're 2.5. Florida State's a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Florida State's
2.5. Hey, Tommy Casanova,
yeah.
Turn over the spreads again.
Yeah, damn it.
What you picking?
I'm taking Florida.
I'm going go Noles. The Noles are taking this one.
Florida unranked. Give me the Gators.
Oh, another one against me.
Ooh. It's going to be interesting to see how this one turns out at the end. Next up, Georgia Tech at Georgia. Georgia's a 13-point favorite. I've got Georgia Tech. I've got Georgia Tech. I'm taking Tech.
I'm taking SEC in this one. I'm going Georgia.
Yeah, Pat, this is going to be the first one we agree upon. Georgia's going to end their season in style and cover. Give me the points.
All right, next up, Kentucky at Tennessee. Tennessee needs one win to be bowl eligible, and they are favored by 3. I'm taking Kentucky.
I'm taking Big Blue as well. Kentucky's played some tough games, and they've been pretty good in those tough games this year. So, and Tennessee, God, they should get beat. Anyway, enough. Kentucky.
Nope. I like the way Tennessee is finishing out the season. I like them to win and give me a 3.5 along with that win.
All right, next up, Louisiana Lafayette at Louisiana Monroe. Winner gets to call themselves Louisiana University for a year. Monroe is favored by 6 at home. I'm taking Monroe.
I am taking Monroe as well.
Let's make this one unanimous. I believe the first time on the board. And the Warhawks.
Yep, that'll, you know, if they win, Monroe's going to have 6 wins, and the way it's turning out, Monroe's going to go to a bowl game this year without winning the Sun Belt.
That's good, because they played LSU.
Yeah. All right, I'll skip us. Michigan at Ohio State. Ohio State is a 17-point favorite. I'm taking Ohio State. I keep forgetting to give up it.
And I'm taking Michigan. They're not going to disappoint me this week.
You think after 8 of these picks he'd get it, Pat, that he goes first after he announces the game and then...
Yeah, well, he's a little slow. I mean, we tried.
Give me the Wolverines to cover. That's too many points.
All right, next up, Egg Bowl. Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Mississippi State is a 2-point favorite, and I'm taking the Dogs in this one.
Oh, I got to take the Dogs as well. Ole Miss blew their load on our game. That's it. They're done. State's going to win. Cover them.
I like the Bulldogs. Bulldogs have been a little bit of a slide here lately, but nothing helps that than better than playing Ole Miss.
All right. Next up, Notre Dame at Southern Cal. Southern Cal is a 4-point favorite at home, and I'm taking Southern Cal on this one.
Yeah, even though Matt Barkley is out, I'm taking Southern Cal as well.
That's some good information. I know he was out, but it's not going to change my pick. Give me the Trojans and the Bulldogs.
Man.
All right. Next up, Bedlam, Oklahoma at Okie State. Okie State's a 2-point favorite, and I'm taking Oklahoma.
I think I originally took Oklahoma, so as of right now, I'm staying with that pick, Oklahoma.
Let's go unanimous. Boomer Sooner.
All right. Next up, South Carolina at Clemson. South Carolina is a 2-point favorite, and I'm taking the Gamecocks.
And I'm taking the fake Death Valley team. I'm taking the Clemson Tigers because what is South Carolina looking forward to? Nothing but the SEC championship. They're going to overlook this, even though it's a rivalry.
You know what? They should make a stipulation that if South Carolina goes and loses this game, they should just let the winner of the LSU-Arkansas game play Auburn in the SEC championship game.
I agree.
You can't be losing to Clemson and deserve to go to Atlanta. It just ain't happening.
I think you should have at least less than three losses to go to your title game.
Three losses or less overall is what you're saying?
Yep.
Let's mandate that rule. I'm going to email Mike's live after we do our picks.
Yeah, you want to talk about it? All right, we'll get
it. But in any event, give me South Carolina to cover that 2.5. I like South Carolina.
All right, next up, Thursday night special on this one, Texas A&M at Texas. Texas needs a win to get bowl eligible, but I don't think it's going to happen. A&M's favored by 3, and I'm taking the Aggies.
God, I'm taking the Aggies, too. Texas doesn't make a bowl game for the first time in forever.
You know, the Aggies, man, Aggies surprised me. They hung with Nebraska and out-kicked them to a victory last weekend. You know, I don't know if you have you can't really have a letdown against your rival.
It's a big game for the Aggies.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I like A&M to go ahead and finish it out in style and defeating those bastards from Austin.
All right, last one before our game on the list. ACC SEC special for bragging rights here. The worst teams of both conferences, 2-9 Wake Forest. At 2-9 Vanderbilt, and Vandy is a 5-point favorite. I'm taking the Commodores.
Go Doors, go Doors. That's what I'm telling you, man. The Doors are going to win.
Dude, how this didn't make ABC primetime is beyond me.
Dude, I'm looking for that. I'm getting game plan just for this game.
give me the Commodores, man. Give me the Commodores to defeat the Demon Deacons. Man, if this was a basketball game, it'd be worth watching, but I think I'm going to skip it. There's going to be a lot of goals on the field. This is the gold equivalent to watching, like, Oklahoma versus A&M and then all that maroon and all that crap.
Oh, yeah. But so. God, just think how bad the ACC is.
There'll be more. There'll be
Big East.
And the last one on the list, LSU at Arkansas in War Memorial. What is it? Coliseum? Stadium? Something?
Stadium.
Field?
War Memorial Stadium. Is it the one in Little Rock? We're playing in Little Rock,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, it's always in Little Rock, right across the street from the zoo.
I thought they fluctuated.
Nah. Fluctuated. They have. Yes, they have.
We ain't been to Fayetteville in a long time.
We went to Fayetteville, like, not too long ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust Bobcat on this one.
He don't know
his LSU quarterbacks from the, you know, from anything.
He knows
his
college football stadium from the Wii.
Yeah, but he knows about this stuff. He talked about Cam Newton before anybody else knew about Cam Newton on a previous show, so I'm going to stick with the Believe podcast on this one. But anyway, podcast,
playing for the boot. Playing for the boot. I'm taking the Tigers. It is a – what's the spread? I just had it up. It is a 3-point spread. Yeah, it's a 3-point spread for us.
I'll never pick against it.
No, it's 3-point spread for Arkansas.
Yes.
I can't pick against this. I can't do it. Not going to do it. Haven't done it all season. Got to stick to my 11-1 prediction. Go Tigers.
Yep, I'm taking LSU. I guess we'll give scores because we're not doing a show on Saturday.
If we're not going to do it, we're going to give these scores now, man.
Dude, Oscar, bring back Patrick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Oscar. You're in Gary's department. What you think?
No, he's not. He's never in my department.
You're right. He never visits. Anyway, score predictions. Podcast, since you predicted games, you got to give a score prediction.
All right. Jeez. Give me 50-48 in overtime. LSU.
Wow. Nice.
So much for that defensive prowess. Give me a score of 38-24.
This is completely opposite from an hour ago. You were like, just ain't got that feeling. Now it's a 14-point victory on the road.
You convinced me, Kerry.
I know. I am convincing.
Yeah, hey, it's calm. I'm telling you, if we can wind up all not going to the same game without even talking to each other and all have tickets.
Yeah. No. To make this season right, and really, podcast overtime prediction might come true because that's the only thing missing from what has been. This has been just exactly like 2007, minus the chance bus. You know, there's still an outside chance that we go to a national championship game, which there was an outside chance of that happening in 2007 too. This is gonna be another nail biter. Overtime would only make it all the more better.
I got a stat for you too. The last four games in this series, the combined score is tied at 111-111.
In that case, I'm going to take LSU 112 Arkansas 111. Josh Jasper kicks a winning field goal in the 15th overtime.
That is
no, in all seriousness, I don't want to steal your overtime thunder. I like Josh Jasper to kick a field goal late and LSU to win at 37-34.
That's cool. Just one last bit of facts so we can get Pat straight on this. The game has been played in Fayetteville once in 1992.
Yeah, I told you.
Just once.
They go to Fayetteville every 20 years.
Every other time it's been in either Little Rock or Shreveport or Baton Rouge.
Well, that's what I told you.
When the hell did we play them in Shreveport?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
All through the 20s and through most of the 50s.
Oh.
Oh, well, hell.
We're talking between 1992 and 2010. Hey, what about the 20s and the 50s?
You got to remember they stopped playing each other after 66 till the SEC came around.
Which is the way it should still be. We should still quit playing them because I hate that game. They can have their friggin' trophy. Just let's settle this. What we ought to do is win the game and say, no, we don't want this damn ugly trophy and give it to them.
Keep it. We'd have to keep it. We have to keep it because we won last year.
Well, we say, well, tell you what, it don't matter. Bring it with us, give it to them, and say, look, no matter what happens, you keep this damn thing.
Okay, so real quick. Dream scenario, short of, a national championship game, which I don't think is going to happen in any way, shape, or form, because I think this is the year. If one of those teams loses, Oregon or Auburn, I think TCU or Boise is going to go ahead of us. I really do.
Oh, yeah, they will.
So, do y'all want Auburn just to go ahead and win out and us just go to the Sugar Bowl, or would you rather Auburn lose? And us, assuming we beat Arkansas on Saturday, we definitely go to a BCS game as an enlarged team. I'd rather see Auburn lose, not lose to South Carolina, just lose to Alabama, and have to go to the Sugar Bowl, and us going to a different game. I mean, because I'd just like to see us in a different game for a change.
Well, I'd like to see that too. I'd like to see a BCS game in a different BCS game. because what they're going to do, say, okay, well, you're the number five team in the country. We're not going to pull you into BCS, which it could happen. It could happen, but you know what that would also do? And the reason I'd want Auburn to lose like that is because that would just make one freaking hell of a fodder for everybody else out there to say, what the hell, the BCS screwed up this year. We got a number five team that can't even make, you know, a BCS game, even though they're ranked in, you know, the top
12. It's really doubtful that that's going to happen, though, Pat, because you got to remember, they only have to take one of the non-qualifying conference teams. I mean, it could be Boise State, TCU could be ranked 2-3. Only one of them gets to go to a BCS bowl game. The other gets, you know, the other does get shut out, no matter how high they're ranked.
They both went last year. They played each other.
It was odd choices by BCS that last year. I think we'll get sent to the Orange Bowl and we'll play like Pitt or somebody.
That'd be nice. I can handle beating up on any Big Ace team in a BCS bowl game. I don't want to get matched up against either TCU or Boise.
If they'll
get up for that game, we end up losing, it's gonna just be a miserable offseason if something like that would happen. I don't want that to happen.
You know what? We would get, I hate to say it, we would get our butts blown away by Oregon. That spread offense that they got, there's no way.
Oh, yeah. Given what we've seen against Auburn and Ole Miss, no, that's not a chance.
I do not want to play them at all. I don't care what scenario you look at.
They're playing for the national championship. They're not losing.
No, so, I mean, our best scenario, I would like to see Auburn lose this weekend, win the SEC championship, you're right there. But I'd like to see the whole BCS get thrown for, like, a total loop, like some weird shit happening where it just nobody knows where they're going. They have to pick all kind of random crap to go, and we get, like, some stupid Big East ACC team that,
but
you know, or whatever.
What would really be interesting is if Oregon and Auburn both lost. Then what would happen?
And do they take the top two, or do they take an SEC one loss, or what?
That's what I want to say.
That could be great too, because you think about it. If Oregon and Auburn both lose late, but they're still ranked high, what if they do like last year and pick up two at qualifying conferences? You'll have Boise State against Oregon, and you know TCU against Auburn. And what if the two non-qualifying schools win out and we have two undefeated mid-major teams both fighting each other for claim at a split national title?
Yeah.
You know, I would pay to see Boise against Oregon, though.
That'd be a
Imagine
fun
the
game
points
to watch.
Put up in that game.
Yeah, that'd be a fun game to watch. So, I don't know.
So anyway, a lot of talk about the next couple weeks.
Just fun to talk about. Next show will be next week, breaking down Arkansas. We are still in negotiations about what we're going to do for the SEC Championship game week. Patrick, as you know, that's another taste of the holidays, but I don't plan on staying the whole time for this one. I'm just going to go and get things set up and get somebody rolling, and I'm going to split out because I'd
that's
like
the
to.
One the vendors are coming to anyway.
Oh, is it? Is this one?
I think it is, anyway.
Okay, I thought it was the last one, but that's regardless.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I'll have to check it out.
Definitely a show next week to break down Arkansas. As it stands right now, we plan on all getting together and doing a live remote with the webcam so we can watch the whole world can watch Podcast Shaved the Beard December 4th, Auburn and South Carolina. What's the game time on that anyway? Is it been announced? Is it 5 like it usually is?
It's a 5 start. It's a late afternoon start.
That's good. That's good. That's good. So, definitely. So, for those of you listening and want to hear us again, next week's going to be the time. But until then, we're done. And as always, go Tigers. Beat the Razorbacks. Woo, pig, suey, my ass. Bye.
Whee!